Today I want to go to 1 Timothy 5. I'm going to call it Rebuke with Knowledge. Rebuke with knowledge. Now, all leaders have to rebuke. But you've got to know how to rebuke. You've got to understand when to rebuke. And it's always got to be for correction, instruction, and reproof in a godly way. As a leader, you are to remember always that everything you do can cause people to turn away from God or turn towards God. Father, I just ask this morning that each person here just gets a hold of this, Lord, that they may not just rebuke, but with knowledge in a way that will bring impact and directional turn towards you and not away. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said. In 5 verse 1 it says, Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. There's a reason why, and it is part of my life where I go, well look bro, this is just the way it is. Right? I am identifying with them as a person. You get it? And they know that what I'm telling them is not to tear them down, but they just need the knowledge. Look, bro, you know that's a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? You understand? But I identify with them in a way that they know that I'm not down on them, right? But that I'm trying to get a point across. Quit lying to yourself. Be quiet. Listen. Get over your madness. Amen? But always, always being very much to the point and not trying to be derogatory. Although sometimes I will say things that I shouldn't. Mostly my issue is to stay in this place. It says, Rebuke an older man. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Well, at my age, you know, I can talk to everybody about any way I want. But you that are younger, you must remember that if you're talking to an older man, that he is not going to receive from you if you come off like you're somebody. So you need to take that into consideration when you're talking to older men or women, right? Older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. With all purity, which means you stay in that place you're supposed to stay. Right? Which means that you are showing them something for them, not to lift yourself up on their shoulders. Are you understanding? But to help bring correction to their life for their advantage. That they understand you're not trying to belittle them, but you're really trying to help them. You know, it says, honor widows who are really widows. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of girls out there that they just like the wrong things and they've been married many times and now they don't got a man. Oh, well. Right? Oh, well. It says, honor widows that are truly widows. If you know that there has been a woman that's been married all her life and her husband has died or something like that, and she's been faithful, and now she's being faithful to God, not looking for a new man, then she has a special place of respect. It says, honor widows that are true widows, not people that are trying to get you to feel sorry for them because they ran off the last guy just like the guy before. Amen? But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. You'll meet a lot of godly widows where they've lost their husbands or whatever, or guys have lost their mates, and they love the Lord, and they're there and they're servants, and they come to you and they got a pure heart. Those are the true widows and widowers. Amen? But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. What does that mean? Look at the truth. You got some scandalous old woman or old man out there, they're just scandalous, and you treat them like anybody else is scandalous. Right? All right. I'll just read it all and go through here. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We're supposed to take care of our people. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the young widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What's it saying? Get married again. Hurry up. Make babies. Take care of children. Right? Don't be running around running them up. That's all he's really saying. For some have already turned aside after Satan, and if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now let me explain something to you. That's why I tell you I don't want to hear your crap. You know what I mean? I have been faithfully serving the Lord for years. You are the end result of what I do. I shouldn't have to listen to any back talk or anything from you no more. Amen? Why? I've poured into you. You see my life. Am I perfect? No. That's like I told you, I don't want to ever hear that you guys are backstabbing me no more. Why? Because I am in a place where I am your elder. And you need to learn to give your elders honor. Not just me, but all who are your elders. And if you are a leader, you need to be the example of that. If you're sitting in your room running me down, or somebody else on this campus that's a leader down, whoever is your roommate is not listening to nothing you got to say ever again in your life. Amen? Why? Because you have not learned the first elementary things about gossip and hatefulness and all the rest of that. You need to treat people that labor in the Word of God with respect, because not many will pay the price to do those things. Amen? You look around and you tell me if I'm lying. And don't get me wrong, you're going to give me respect if I got to take it. Don't misunderstand me, because I will get that from you. But you should just give it. I should not have to tell you to shut up, quit your whining, all the rest of that. Just stop it. Amen? Yes, sir. That's right. Thank you. You get it? And I don't want you to kiss my butt. I never asked anybody here to kiss my butt. I'm just telling you to learn biblical principles in your life, so that when other people see you in those biblical truths, they will do the same thing for you. Amen? If you're a leader, people follow your example, not your lips, unless your example and your lips match. You understand? I'm just telling you. You can make all the noise you want about why people won't listen to you, and then you look at your life and you'll figure out why they won't. All right. People come up to me all the time and they go, well, Dominic, people look at you differently than me. Why? Because when they look at you, sometimes you are still to the left, to the right, way off center, saying things you shouldn't, doing things you shouldn't. That's why they don't listen to you. But if you start to do what you're supposed to do, and you start to live how you're supposed to live, then you will get the same honor, the same respect that people will show me. It doesn't happen overnight. Amen? We got some flaws that we got to work on. Okay. It says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Do not believe anything that is spoken against a leader, a man of God, unless two or three witnesses are there stating that it is true. Amen? Do you get that? This is the truth, and when you're dealing with leadership. Now we're talking about leaders. You know, I won't usually talk to any of you until I hear from two or three people the same thing. This man has no compassion. He pushes people over the edge. I don't listen to that right away. But if I hear it from two or three people, then according to the Word of God, I am to confront that issue. Amen? This person, when he's around you, says this and that. But when he's around this, he says this and that. When I hear it two or three times from two or three people, then I receive that and then I confront. You understand? This is how you deal with elders. You don't listen to nothing unless you hear it two or three times according to the Word of God from different people. Amen? Timothy, is very important that you learn. Now it says in 20, it says, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Now let's talk about this instance. The other night I was up on the second floor, and somebody was discussing loudly with him some things. So I come out my office, and I jump dead down that man's throat. Do you know why? Because he was bringing division and rebellion into this house. In this case, James was the leader, and he had told this individual to do something, and this individual was having a conflict with James. So I come out my office, and I go talk to that individual publicly, right to his face, and told him, you need to shut up. You need to be quiet. You don't listen to me. You need to be quiet. If you don't like what I got to say, you need to leave, and you need to leave right now, and you need to pack yourself and get on up out of here. What was I doing? I was getting the conflict out of my house. No one man has the right to stir up a house. No one man has the right to bring controversy into God's house. And in those instances such as that where he is absolutely, flagrantly disrespecting the authority in God's house, I will terminate that person from the house. Now again, a lot of you guys face too many issues because you haven't cleaned up your own life. Because you're still a bunch of clowns. You're making jokes. You screw up on purpose. And nobody has respect for those things in you. Amen? So when you try to hold them accountable, they ain't listening to you. They go, well, look at you, man. You say this, you do that, and here you are. Who are you? Now you look at it from that point, and you'll understand why you got to quit your crap. How can you hold people accountable if you won't listen to the rules you've already known for perhaps a year or two at a time? You understand? You cannot expect them to respect you because to them, you are nothing but a hypocrite. And nobody likes hypocrites. Oh yeah, you say you're somebody, but look how you are. You see, in the case of bringing division into the home, into the house, into God's house, open conflict with authority, public, open conflict. Now, you know what? There's been a lot of people that have walked in my office and said things I really didn't want to hear. But I listened to them. And then I decided, according to the Word of God, and as God led me, how to deal with them at that time. But I will never take your mouth or their mouth openly in public. Never. Why? Because that brings rebellion into the house. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? If they see you doing it, or if they've seen you do it, or if they see somebody do it and get away with it, it will spread. Well, he can do it, so can I. Amen? Which reminds me, is that guy done with his verses yet? You tell him if he isn't done by the end of this day that he is packing up and he is leaving. Amen? Because I know he could be done. Huh? Okay. So, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may fear. What does that mean? When you catch a person in open rebellion or in open sin, you rebuke him immediately. Right? It's in progress. At that moment, you address it. You don't, well, I'll wait and talk to him later in private. No, right now. That's the time. Do you understand when to use this particular verse in Timothy? It says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you preserve these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Remember, I was talking about that the other day. Some of you guys are way wrong. You treat people special. You're way wrong. You're way wrong, and everybody knows it. You know, I've had several instances in the last 2 weeks where I just wanted to slap people because they're setting precedents. Amen? They let people in here. They give people preferred jobs, you know. They let people tell them no and pick their jobs. And you know what? You are setting up rebellion. Amen? And you are a part of that rebellion. Because you are to give nobody preferential treatment. Least of all because you like them. As a matter of fact, I would pity anybody I considered a friend. Because I would expect more of them than anybody else. Not less. I would give them the toughest jobs. Just to make sure that nobody would tell me that I played preference on them. Right? So it says that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. What does that mean? You treat everybody the same. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Do you get that? You're not to take and pick up your hands. Right? You know, let me tell you something. I've dealt with some tough issues since I've been in ministry. Well, one of them is not that I've ever had to go to fisticuffs with anybody. Never. I had to sit on a few people. You know what I mean? But if I haven't had that issue and I've dealt with probably about 8,000 people by now, how come you have already dealt with those issues? If you have. And the answer is, you're the problem. You got to receive what I'm telling you today. Amen? It's how you deal with people that presents that problem. Do you understand? If you had to turn around and walk away because you got a big mouth or you don't treat people right or whatever, you know what? In the end, it really is a question of, you know, you can do the same thing easy or hard. But sometimes when you're mad, you'll bring conflict into your life. Right? Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. What does that mean? Especially you as a leader cannot participate breaking the rules in any way for any reason. You don't have a reason. You don't cover it up either. I have the right to know everything that goes on. You understand me? Because I'll do a long-term evaluation, something that you are not yet capable of. They hustle you, they hustle another guy, oh, please don't tell nobody, before you know it, they're living in open sin, and everybody is just hiding it from me. And because they don't have an open discussion with everybody else, that person is just getting over on one person after another after another. You get the scenario? Everything everybody does, I must know. You can put it on a piece of paper. You can slip it under my door, give it to me, and give me the consequence of their actions. Nothing slides. And then I'll listen to what you said, and I'll think if you dealt with it correctly or not, and bring correction. How else are you going to learn? You lean on your own. I lean on God. You get it? You need to learn to lean on God. But mostly, you still lean on your own. Right? And I'm not asking for a big thing, and there's some things that are pretty straightforward, but you know, there's some issues of thieving and stuff that goes on here that I don't get told about until it's too late, and I need to know those things. You know, physical violence, outbursts of wrath. A lot of times I can nip it in the bud and you can't. Amen? I need to know. It says that no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. It's just really telling you to mellow out. Don't get so tense or explosive all the time. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. What's it saying? All sin will be revealed now or later. The reason why I'm reading you this chapter is because you really need to learn how to rebuke correctly. You need to learn what kind of circumstances. You need to learn to do it to where people will learn how to receive it. They will take it. Now, when you rebuke openly amongst others, if you catch somebody in open sin, you rebuke them openly. If you have a person that is bringing rebellion into your house, you terminate that immediately. Amen? Sir, you're going to have to fix this. And if I can see it, why didn't you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Learning to rebuke in wisdom, to bring wisdom, is different than just running your mouth. But let me tell you that you need to really check your heart and check your life and get it right so that you have the right to have the respect that you must have from all. Amen? You got to be serious, people. Leadership is no joke. I was sitting in an office today and we were doing a little bit of dreaming and we went through like about 10 issues of different things. And you know what? It's not always pleasant, but it's always necessary. You understand? So in the end, this is a good lesson for everybody on how to rebuke. Number one, you got to get yourself right, and you got to be the same always. Right? You got to quit being like everybody else. You see, if you're going to be a leader, you can't be their buddy one day and then a tyrant the next day. You got to just be a leader every day. You can't be a respecter of persons, because then once you start down that road, they'll all expect it all the time. And they will hold that against you and choose the time they're not going to listen to you. Right? If you're speaking to older people, you got to treat them a little differently than people that are your age or younger people. Do you understand? You got to learn how to treat people where they're at. You rebuke openly when it's bringing division and rebellion into your house, or you openly catch them in sin. You catch somebody in a cookie jar, stealing something, then right there in front of everybody, you do what you got to do, which is chastise them, send them to my office. No matter what they're stealing, they should end up in my office right then. Right then. Right then. Right then. If you catch people in fisticuffs, right then, they need to be in my office. Do you understand? You don't deal with those situations. But you deal with them in that you immediately identify it and you send them to my office. If you find somebody out after hours, not in their bed or whatever, right then, that is rebellion. They need to see me. Now, don't come wake me up. But they see me the next day. I get a note. When there is infractions, right then, you just tell them, okay, and I'm going to give this to Dominic. But right now, you do this, and he'll tell you the rest of the story. You understand? If you catch somebody in open sin, you must right then, wherever you catch them, openly rebuke and bring correction, lest others might fear. Amen? Father, I love you. Let it be today that we all get a hold of this in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,